God, you are the strength of our life. You are the strength of our life, Lord God. That's what we look to. We look to you today, and we pray that, Lord, you would begin to guide every step that we have. You said that the steps of a righteous man and a righteous woman are ordered of God. So, Lord, I pray that you would just order our steps today. Lord, there are people that are in this service that you order their steps to be here today. That, God, they weren't even planning on being in church today, but somehow they're here today, Lord God. We pray your blessing, God, for the people that you're already ordering to be by their steps, to order them their steps to be at the 3 o'clock, to be at the 6 o'clock for the evangelistic service. You're already moving pieces of the day to get them there. You're gonna move in the heart. You're gonna touch their mind. You're gonna begin to remove hurdles, and they are gonna be here, God. And today will be the day of salvation for people today. So God, at every service, God, we are just praying this, that no one's gonna say how great the church is, how great the music is, how great the people are, but they're gonna say how great God is today. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Come on, put your hands together one more time and you may be seated. What a joy to be with you. I'm gonna teach you this morning. It was a 6-hour delay in the airport to get here, so you gotta just give me a little leeway. But here's what I want you to do. Take out a piece of paper, a pen. I shouldn't even say that. How many uses paper and pen anymore? Anybody do that? 6 of you. So the rest of you, get out. I want you to take out an iPhone, your Galaxy, whatever you have. I want you to pull it out because I want you to jot down some notes, because this is so important as I'm gonna teach you through something today that I think we all need to hear. So just have to bear with me just for the next few moments. So here we go. There are 2 documents that reveal a lot about every one of us in this place, and they are the calendar and the checkbook. So already you're mad, but that's okay. I fly out real soon, so you won't find me. So here we go. The calendar and the checkbook, and they deal with 2 precious resources we have, time and money. And today we're going to deal with the checkbook. I know there won't be any amens. I'll have to amen myself. And I'm okay with that, because this is an important topic. You know, the last survey that was done with about almost 10,000 churches said that close to 20% of the people in a church say that they tithe, but really only 3% of the people actually do. In fact, it says 40% will give nothing in a year. And even though 90% of those that will be sitting in this place say that God has blessed them with more income than they've ever had in their entire life. And what this information tells me when I look at that survey, when I think of that study that is being done on the Church of Jesus Christ, listen to me close, is that the church is turning more into consumers than stewards. Yeah, that's a good one. Don't say amen. Just go, it's okay. Just listen. You need to jot that down. The church is becoming consumer focused instead of stewardship focused. And this is so important for every one of us here. And do you know why that happens? Let me just say it to you this way. The trouble is that too many people are spending money they haven't yet earned for things they don't need to impress people they don't even like. And so what we have got to do today is turn things back from being consumers, that if we're God's people, we need to become stewards again. And this is important for us to deal with this. And that's why, as we begin to enter into this area and talk about this important document and how this really a theological document, because it really tells us what we worship and who we worship, that a checkbook is a theological document. And so that's why when you go to the doctor and you come into the doctor's office, whether it's for your checkup or because something's wrong, what that doctor would do is I've watched this happen each year for all these years as I've gone in for a physical. They'll take their fingers and they'll push in certain places because they know if you say ow or something hurts, they know that something's wrong. So as I push today, and as you go, this hurts, then something is wrong, and then we're gonna begin to dig a little bit deeper and figure out what's going on in this place. So how many are ready for the little push that's gonna take place? We're gonna push in some spots. So your look of pain will not bother me whatsoever as we go through this and as we deal with this today. I just don't want you to shoot the messenger reporting some New Testament facts. You ready for this? 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus spoke were concerned with how to handle money and possessions. 16 out of 38. In fact, in the Gospels, an amazing one out of every 10 verses, 288 of them, directly deal with the subject of money. Think of that for a moment. The Bible offers 500 verses on prayer, less than 500 verses on faith, but 2,000 verses on money and possessions. And we're afraid for someone to push in this area a little bit? That's what we have to do today. So when all of a sudden you come here and say, oh, here it is, I show up today, I brought my friend, and now they're gonna talk about money. Just hold on for a second. We're gonna get to the goods. That's why we took the offering first. So that's why I don't want you, listen to me close, I don't want you holding on to something that can't deliver what it promises. Because money can buy a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. And money can begin to buy a house, but it can't make a home. And money can buy medicine, but it can't give you health. It can buy amusement, but it can't give you joy. It can buy a crucifix, but it won't give you a savior. It can buy you a church, but it won't get you to heaven. Do not hold on to something that can't deliver. That's why I want to go after this and deal with this. The Bible doesn't shy away from money, and so neither should we. Pastor Carter talked about my father who helped Brother Dave with the beginnings of the cross and the switchblade and the Teen Challenge program. My father, the son of an Italian immigrant from Italy, lived in Brooklyn, started off as a beat cop and worked his way up to chief of the transit police before it merged with NYPD. And my dad had three things he would always teach us about finances. Here are the three things he said. When you get your check every week, he says, do three things with it. One, you pay God, then you pay yourself, then you pay your bills. He says, one, you pay God, you give to God what belongs to him. We'll come back to that. Pay yourself, put money in savings, and number three, then you pay your bills. And so that is something that I think even from coming from that old school still could be something that even works. And some of you are going like, Pastor Tim, I need money. And all you talk about is pay, 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 pay. How do we even deal with this? Well, this is gonna surprise you because some of us here need money. Anybody in that category, you would just raise your hand. Okay, the same people are using paper and pen. So let's just go through with you. Because if you're in a spot that goes, I need financial help, I need financial assistance, listen to me close, because I think we're doing this all wrong. You don't get it by, first of all, dropping hints to people or family members. I'm really trying to make it, really struggling through. We know what it's like. Just pray for me because the bill came in. It's $932.17. When you say that kind of stuff, you're relying on people and not upon God. And even what God's promises say. And in fact, this may even get you upset. You may come on Tuesday night and say, I'm praying the money in. And God said, that's not even how it happens. Oh, pressing, pain is coming. Because we bypass the simplicity. Some are praying for money without any giving. And this is what Jesus said. Luke 6:38, jot this down. Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap at good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Listen to these words. Jesus said, these are words in red, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Which says, Jesus puts the return amount back into your hands. And so while you're trying to pray for something, you're going, God, I need this. God goes, you haven't given. Why are you praying? And you haven't even activated for me to come and bless you according to your standard of measure. See, this is the part that becomes difficult. And you're thinking, oh, I didn't know we're going to hear this on a Sunday morning. But this is sometimes what we have to hear. Because this is really what the word of God begins to challenge us. Not pray and get, not tell others and get, but give and it will be given to us. And no better way to put this action plan into place than what the Bible describes as tithing. This is important. Jot this down. Tithing is a thank you note to God that he is my provider. Tithing is that check that you write when you give online. If you're one of those 600 home fellowship groups that are tuning in right now, if you are at the New Jersey campus, every time you write a check or go online or begin to do what they tell you on the announcements, you are writing a thank you note to God. Let me explain what happens. So Christmas season is coming up, and my wife, who is just this brilliant businesswoman, has enacted in our house this law that when any of our, and I'm telling you, it's law, nobody, and I'm afraid I have to do this. No, you have, if you haven't met Cindy, I just, okay, let's go on. She said this to our kids, when you get your Christmas presents, if a check comes in the mail or somebody gives you something, a financial blessing, you are not allowed to spend it. You ready for this? Spend any of it until one, number one, you write a thank you note, your thank you note to God and your thank you note to them. Because we're dealing with a generation of entitlement and not gratitude. And parents, grandparents, I'm telling you, this has been a good rule to teach our children to say, you won't spend a dime. Let me tell you something, that motivates them really fast. Because when we tell them, you've got to write your thank you note to God, your tithe check, and then you've got to write your thank you note to the person that gives it to you. And so many times, this is the challenge for all of us, is that thank you note. So let me be as practical as I can today. I want to just give you 2 points, 2 passages of scripture, and then we're going to close with a biblical example of all this. So just bear with me today. You're still with me? Angry? Okay, just smile, okay? Okay, here we go. I want to give you the why, and then I want to give you the how, and then I want to give you the best biblical example of giving as we close the service. So the best way to instill our thank you notes is every time we tithe, every time that we give, every time that we begin to do exactly what those 2,000 verses in the Bible begin to instruct us to do. So let's take one of them, the why of giving. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn to the great Italian book of the Old Testament, Malachi. So for those of you old people, Malachi, go ahead and just turn whatever you want. You'll understand. So you're going, wait a second, there's no Malachi in the Bible. Okay, so here we go. Malachi chapter, just wanted to make sure you're getting a little stiff. I just wanted to make sure that you are still with me. Because this is a difficult topic, and this is sometimes that we're not ready for, and we have to begin to let the doctor begin to push on certain areas. The doctor being the Holy Spirit pushing some of these areas. So here we go. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet, this is God speaking, yet you're robbing me. But you say, how? How have we robbed you in tithes and offerings? Verse 9, you're cursed with a curse for you're robbing me. The whole nation of you, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that may be food in my house and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I'll rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Think how serious this is and why we have to take this seriously. That God says, when you begin to not look at this the correct way, that you are moving into a place of robbing God. Think about that. Did you know you can rob God? That's not me, that's the Bible. And God puts this financial part on us, on the honor system, and begins to say, I'm gonna trust you that you understand how important this is. And let me make it very clear. So let me be real clear so everybody understands. When we use the word tithe, the word literally means 10%. It means if you get a check or someone gives you $100, it is the thank you note that says, God, you're taking $10. I'm putting $10 and gonna give this back to you. Because really, in essence, can we just be honest? You may think you own 90% and God owns 10%, but let's just be honest. God owns it all. So let me just clear the floor on that for just a moment here. And if you receive a $1,000 check, then the tithe means we give $100. Aren't you happy that though the price of everything is going up today, that God hasn't jacked up the price of tithing? Isn't that really good to know? Wow. God specifies that there are tithes and offerings. Offering is that which is above the 10%. You have not given an offering until you tithed. Let's just be, some people, we assume you know this information. But really, the challenge is for us as pastors that we have to teach this. And so I want to be really be careful. You haven't given an offering until you first tithed. Thank you. So here's what happens. Proverbs 3:9 says this, you ready? Honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all of your income, and he will fill your barns with wheat and barley and overflow your wine vats with the best of wines. What he was saying was that not only does God get the first, but God begins to get the first, meaning the 10%, that before we pay Macy's, Amex, Visa, we begin to acknowledge God first. We don't give him what's left, we give him what belongs to him in the first place. And see, I believe this, when we give the 10%, we're acknowledging you own it all, God. That's the thank you note. When we give him first, we're saying we're gonna trust you, God. Let me say that again. When you write your thank you note and give him 10%, you are acknowledging this will not control me. This will not be in charge. But when you give it to him first and say, before I pay anything, God, you are the one that has me here. You are the one that has blessed me. So I'm gonna give you first. I'm scared. I think it's a trust issue. I think when we do God first, when we give him first, that's the trust issue. And let me explain this because I'm embarrassed to say this. Because even as a young pastor, when I started in ministry, I tried to look for all the loopholes in tithing. I was making $47 a week, so that's a $4.70 tithe check that I wasn't even paying for this reason. Let me tell you why. Because what I was trying to do was I said, well, me serving in the church is my tithe. Ooh, you shouldn't have gone there, Pastor Tim. Oh, we're gonna go. Ooh, we're pushing. I sing in the choir, so that's really my tithe. Oh, got some thieves in the choir, is what we got. I serve, I'm a volunteer, that's my tithe. That's not a tithe. I'm helping out with the ministries. I go ahead and serve in the children. You don't understand what it's like to serve with the children. That's a tithe and an offering. And so some of you think at that point that you're able to just go ahead and write that off going, that's my tithe. That's not what the Bible says. You serving is you doing what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be servants in the house of God. Don't combine what God hasn't combined. Some of you are going, can we just get to point two and end this thing? God was careful to say the whole tithe, which means, jot this down, most tip God, few tithes. Most of us will take more time in a restaurant and calculate what we owe a waitress than what we will do for God in his own house, who has given you everything that you have today. They'll take more time, and that's why there are people here that's going, you don't understand, that's my money. I worked hard for that. I built this business. I got that degree. I earned it. I've got a question for you. Who gave you the legs to get on the subway to get to your job? Who gave you the eyes to see the whiteboard at your university? Who gave you breath? Who's lending you air every single day so you can breathe? Who allows you to live and says, I'll do this? Let's just be careful. That's not your business. That's not your degree. That's not your education. We say thank you, God, every time we write a tithe check. Be careful of saying that. Jesus said there was a man in the Bible that kept saying, my goods, my barns, my vats. And I wanted to go, my, you better stop that because that doesn't belong to you. God was the one that blessed us with this. And that's why it's so important that we stop tipping God and start tithing and writing that thank you note to God. Keep in mind, tithing doesn't make you generous. You're just giving 1% better than a thief. It doesn't make us generous. We're just doing what we're supposed to do. In ministry, I've found out when people aren't tithing, let me just say this, they're usually cheating in some other areas. I'm gonna say that again. When people are fudging on tithing, they're cheating on some other areas of their life. Because this is important to God. This is important because he knows the control that money has. Pushing. And this is a rare moment in the scripture where God goes, I understand. So God goes, I want you to test me on this. This is a rare moment where God in Malachi 3 goes, hey, listen, I know what goes on in your hearts. So I want you to test me on this. See, this is what God said. See if I'll not open up the windows of heaven over your life and see if I'll not take care of the devourer that's trying to. What he was saying was, watch what I can do with 90% in your life than if you're in charge of all 100% in your life. That's what he was saying. Claps are getting lower, but that's fine. Here we go. Two more quick thoughts on this. Keep this in mind. Because he talks about two things, a storehouse and the devil. And I want to be really clear on this. Because the storehouse is where God used local church resources, which means the tithe goes to the church that you go to. What are you saying, Pastor Tim? That means you don't eat at Junior's and pay the bill at Olive Garden. Because the tithe stays in the local church. Well, I want to know what they're doing with that. That's not my job. My job is not to find out where's the money going. I want to see the report. My job is this. I've got to be obedient to what God's told me to do. If financial reports are going to decide whether I'm obedient or not, let's not be silly here because you don't ask for financial reports from Macy's. You don't ask for them from Banana Republic. You don't ask for them from V. So let's not even play that game because sometimes people want to go, I just want to make sure. Because everything, I really believe this, everything that the church needs to do, God begins to put right in that local church. Everything that God wants to do, he puts it right here. It's kind of like the pastor who stood up one Sunday and goes, I've got bad news, I've got good news, and I've got bad news. And so he stood up and the church goes, well, what is it? He goes, the church, he says, as he spoke out, he says, the bad news is that the church needs a new roof. And everybody goes, oh. And then he goes, the good news is that we have the money to put on the new roof. And everyone, yay. And then he goes, but the bad news is it's still in your pockets. And so he says, that's what we have to deal with. And so that's where we have to begin to start this whole process. This is, for those that are still battling with this, this is what Jesus said. Listen to these words, some of the final red letters of Jesus that are put in Acts. We get a few red letters in Revelation, but this is some of his final words, Acts 20:35. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what Jesus said. He adds more blessed. So when people challenge me on this, I just go, well, how do you lose by being a giver? When they come to me going, I want to talk to you through the Old Testament and Old Testament law, I'll walk anybody through that, but it's not just for today. And here's the thing. When people come to me about giving and challenge me on that, I said, well, then give me your plan. And if your plan doesn't have generosity to it, I'm not interested. Because there is no loopholes in the Bible to holding it back. The thing is that the Bible says the more you're generous, the more God will begin to bless our lives. And so that's why people come to me. Can I just throw something in, one more thing from the book of Malachi? Let me help you with this. Because sometimes people come to me and I'm just being real with you. Is everybody okay with this? This is just being real. So I get this all the time. Do I tithe off net or gross? Don't Don't even pretend you know you have never asked that question. Don't even pretend that. That's in the Bible, which one you're supposed to tithe off of. Exactly. Because this is what Malachi says. Malachi goes, this is God speaking. He says, do you give your governor more than you give me? So when I want to ask you a question, when the United States government or New York State comes and is going to begin to tax you, does it tax you off net or does it tax you off gross? Of course it does. And he goes, why would you give to them more than you give to God? They haven't healed you. They haven't saved you. They haven't begun to do a work in your kids. They haven't provided for you. It is God that begins to do that. Why would we give God anything less? That's what it says in the book of Malachi. And that's why he says, listen, stay with me. I want you to get this now. This is so important because this is something when you deal with tithing. Jesus endorsed it. Matthew 23 is the only good thing he said that the Pharisees have done. Paul assumes it. 1 Corinthians 16. We'll get there in just a second. But this is so important because when we place our contribution in the offering, we're not giving to the Lord something he doesn't have. We're taking our hands off something which belongs to God already. Do you understand that? When I release those finances, I'm not giving to God something he doesn't have. I'm taking my hands off something that belongs to him in the first place. And he says this, when you tithe, two houses get blessed, my house and your house. That's what he says. He says, when you take your hands off the thing. Remember, this is the financial document is a theological document. It describes who you worship and what you worship. And today, we're pushing on the spots. I could see it on your face. But I'm promising you, just like God says, test me on this, test me on this, test me on this. And every person I've ever talked to in 35 years of ministry, I've challenged them with the test. I told one person, you ready for this? I told one person who I was close to, who just, the only way he could figure out how to get more money in his life was to keep working a job, more jobs, three, four jobs. And he says, I can't tithe. His words were, I can't afford to tithe. And I said, you can't afford not to tithe. Because what you're trying to do is you're trying to circumvent and come around a different way for God's provision. And he says, start here. And I promised him this. And I said, if you would for 1 year tithe, I promise you, because God says, test me in this, you're going to see the provision of God. And I said, if it doesn't work, I'll pay your bills for the next year. Okay. And here's what's crazy. He wouldn't even do it. That's the control that those financial documents can have. Some of you going like, I'll take that bet. That was just one time and I'm not doing it again. So let's close with this. So here is what we get. When we give, he says, two houses get blessed. He says, my house, we bring it into the storehouse, and your house. He says, I'll take care of the devourer for you. He says, that's my job now. The windows of heaven get opened up, and I'll take care of any evil device that would seem to try to come in and devour you. And this is so important. So now, that's the why. God's house gets blessed, your house gets blessed. What's the why? I'm not gonna rob you, God, on the tithes and the offerings. What's the why? God, you're asking for the whole tithe, not my volunteer, not me serving. You're asking for the tithe. And so I've gotta stop mixing this because if I do that, God, you called it robbery. You called it something that I would never say. I'm just saying I'm struggling. You said, you're robbing me. And God, I don't even wanna do it. That's the why part. So we're clear on that. Let me be just as clear on the how part and we close with this. So here's the how part. I want you to take your Bible and I want you to go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then we're gonna close. Now keep this in mind. When the Bible was written, there were no chapters written in the Bible. That came much later, hundreds of years later, that they started adding the chapters in there to make it just easier to read. So when people try to talk with me about, they call it numerology, that remember this is John 3:16, 3:16, you know what that means? And that's the red moon and the blue moon and all that. It doesn't mean any of that. The numbers are not spiritual. They were added in by man. So this is important to understand. So when we read the Bible, those were written as letters. None of the apostles wrote these letters with chapters and verses. Paul wasn't going verse 1, chapter 1. Paul never did that. It was just a letter that he went through. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I want you to see what Paul does at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. This is amazing. Look at these words, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Now stop right there, because every time I read that verse, I think of Pastor Carter. He says, I remember the day we sat here, he goes, that is a great sign to put on a nursery at a church. We will not sleep, but we shall be changed. Okay, enough of that. Okay, it has nothing to do with nurseries. It has nothing to do with kids ministry. It has everything to do with the second coming. So here it is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be, isn't this good news? Verse 53, for the perishable will put on imperishable and the mortal will put on immortality. Verse 54, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable and this mortal will have put on immortality, then it will come about saying, death is swallowed up into victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is like the law. But thanks be to God who gives the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Now concerning the collection. Woo! He just faked all of you out. He had you in heaven and brought you right down to the offering service. Because you're up there going, change in a twinkling. Ooh, Jesus, thank you, God. So it went to Jesus, we're going to heaven. A collection. Oh, I bind you, Satan. See what Paul did? What Paul did was, he says, don't rejoice about the second coming and knock away what tithing and offering is all about. That's good, Pastor Tim. Thank you for telling me that today. I'll amen myself. I don't need you. So here we go. He is saying that you seeing giving is just as important as you reading Tim LaHaye, Left Behind. Don't sit there and go, come quickly, Jesus, and sit there with your money in your pocket. You can get as angry as you want. I'm just pushing and telling you what the Bible says. There is no chapters, and he goes right from second coming, has you changed in the twinkling of an eye, and says, ushers, would you come? Concerning the collection for the saints, as I have directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper. Nobody has to do the same amount as you prosper. We have prospering seasons and we have less prospering seasons. We know where he's at. So that no collection be made when I come. This is what he was saying. He was reminding us, listen to me close. He was saying tithing is not an act of generosity, it is an act of obedience. Tithing isn't a matter of accounting, it's a matter of attitude of do we trust God? And so I see, jot these four words down. I see it this way. What Paul just said there, I see one, it's consistently first day of the week. And I understand you get paid. Some people are now getting paid. When we were old guys, me and Jerry Hampton, you're older. But when we were getting paid, it was every week. You get a paycheck every single week. Now it's every 2 weeks. So I understand that. But what we have to do is our goal is every time a paycheck comes in, I'm going, my thank you note. I write my thank you note to God. You don't have to write a thank you note to your office, but just write a thank you note to God and just go, thank you. I give you the first fruit. What does that mean? I trust you. And I give you 10% because you own everything. Let me say that again. So here's what he says. First day of the week, or if you get paid every 2 weeks, so consistently. Number two, he says generously. 2 Corinthians 9 says this, you who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. He who gives generously will get a generous reward. That's what the Bible says. So if you have a better plan, it just has to have generosity in it. And it has to have systematic giving in it, because even Calvin Coolidge, the 30th US president, wasn't far off biblically when he said, no person was ever honored for what he received. Honor came for what people give. That's really what God does. God goes, it's not just simply what you receive, it's what you give. Thirdly, I think it's thoughtfully. So it's consistently, It's generously, it's thoughtfully. 1 Corinthians says, set aside money according to your income. That's the way the NIV reads, which means you think about it. You don't just throw it in the basket. It says it's thoughtfully. You lay aside and you save. That means you think about it. You're not just going like, oh, here comes the offer. What do you have? 20 and five? Throw the five. Because we got to go eat after this. We've got to buy two coffees at Starbucks. And so you can go through all of that, but that's not thoughtfully. Thoughtfully goes the tithe first and the 10%. First means I got to trust you first. 10% means, God, it all belongs to you in the first place. And finally, joyfully. The Bible said God loves a cheerful giver. Everything but, think about this. When we think about giving, we think of everything but joy. No one's going like, it's offering, yeah. No one thinks that way. And you may say, I'm not very happy about doing this. We still accept angry money. I just want you to understand that. It's still, you deal with the attitude. We'll go ahead and make sure the church gets blessed. I just want you to understand that today. When we give to God, we're taking our hands off what already belongs to him and giving to God what belongs to him. You know what I kept thinking about? Let me just ask you this question. We close as the musicians come. If everyone in your church followed your pattern of giving, where would the church be? Let me ask that again. If everyone in the, think about this, honestly, if everyone in the church followed your pattern of giving, would we even have the lights on? Would we even, thank you. Would we even have heat? Would we be able to have the instrument? Just think about this for a second. Would we be able to do Feed New York? Would we be able to begin to touch ministries and places around the world? Would we be able to start a church in the New Jersey campus? Would we be able to send our pastors and our leaders to do pastors' conferences if the church depended upon your giving? Is it a tip? Is it a token? Or is it a tithe? Because that's the challenge we all have today. So let me close with this. Our ultimate goal, is to be like God. Ephesians 5:1 says it this way, be imitators of God. Now church, look at me for a second. Every home fellowship group, North Jersey, those in the annex, listen to me close as I close here. Listen to these words. Thank God that in this Christmas season, 2,000 years ago, thank you, God, that he didn't tip or tithe the planet. He gave his best. When he sent Jesus, can you imagine if heaven would have tithed? Can you imagine if heaven just goes, send them, we got a myriad of angels, cut the myriad in a tenth, and let's send them to hell. He didn't tithe to this planet. God gave his best. And he says, I want you to imitate me. How does that go? It says it like this, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love has giving. Love has giving. I love you, therefore that belongs to you. This is not difficult. God, if it's difficult, then you're challenging something that's not right in my heart. If this message really gets me mad, then God, I'm not mad at Delina. I'm mad at myself for allowing finances to take control of me. Because you can sit here today and deal with all the loopholes and come up with all the excuses, but I just have to tell you, something in your heart goes, that's the Bible, that's what it says. But thank God, he was the greatest example of not tithing, but giving, and giving the first and giving the best. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel story. That's what it is. And God gave so we can give. But I'm just going to tell you this. There's not a check you can write. There's not an offering you can give that can get you to heaven. I'm speaking of stewardship for those that are Christians. The greatest thing, listen to me close, because the first thing and the greatest thing you can give is your life to the God that gave you his life. That's where it starts. If you're here today, let me just remind you, if you're here today, I don't want your money. Seriously. I want you to start with a relationship with God. That's where it starts. I want you to start with God today. You can't buy yourself into heaven. You can't buy peace. You can't buy your soul into joy. That doesn't start there. It starts with a relationship with God. That's where the whole thing starts. God gave so we can give. What does he want me to give, Pastor Tim? He wants us to give us our life. That's why, listen to me close, that the greatest gift that was ever given was never under a tree. It was on the tree. And it was on the very cross of Jesus Christ. So what do you give to somebody that has everything? God, you give him your life. He gave his life for you. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. Religion wants you to come here once a week for an hour and a half for 2 hours. Relationship says, I want to talk to you every single day. That's what relationship says. I want to walk with you every single day. That's what relationship does. Because it's not just coming to church and then going, it's over with. That's what religion wants. God says, I want to talk to you every single day. Well, Pastor Tim, how do I do that? Let me be very clear. Let me be very clear and use Jesus's words, who never lies. He says, unless a man is born again, he will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He doesn't say whether you tithe. He doesn't say, can I just tell you something? If you don't tithe and if you don't give and you're a Christian today, that doesn't mean heaven or hell. I'm just telling you that right now. That doesn't get you to heaven. Tithing doesn't get you to heaven, even as a Christian. We're just trying to get you more blessed, like Jesus said. And I have to tell you, if you're not a Christian, giving doesn't get you to heaven. It may make you feel good, but it doesn't get you there. There's only one way that gets you there. And Jesus says, listen to me close. Listen close. You must be born again. So don't make an option what Jesus says is a must. Jesus says, you must be born again. If you're here today in this place, don't tithe your life. You know what tithing your life is? I show up on Sunday. Give your life to God. Give your life to God. Don't even wait. Listen, I know 6 o'clock is the evangelistic service with Pastor David Hamm. Don't even wait till 6 o'clock. My goodness. This is the moment that we could just go, okay, God, Pastor Tim, okay. I don't want religion. I want a relationship. I want to give to God what belongs to him. My life belongs to him. So I want to know today that I'm going to go to heaven. Because listen, and let me tell you why this is important. Because eternity is long and heaven and hell are real places. Listen to me close. Eternity is a long time and heaven and hell are real places. And I want you to go to heaven today. I want you to have a relationship with God, and it starts with being born again. How does that happen, Pastor Tim? It is as simple, listen to me close, it is as simple as ABC. A, I admit I'm a sinner. I'm broken. There's something not right inside of me. I can have a job, I can have this, I can have a 401k, I can have an extra home in the Hamptons. All that stuff can't bring the peace and the security that when I die, I'm going to heaven. There's something broken. When we were born into this world, no one was born a floor model that everything was together. We were born broken people. I don't care how much money you don't have or how much money you do have. Something is wrong in us and it's called sin. B, it's believing that Jesus is the only one that can change us from the inside out. There's not, listen to me close, there's not a program, there's not a promise you can make, there's not a priest or a pastor that can get you to heaven. Jesus died in your place for the sin that was there. He said, I'll take their place for sin to make them right with God, because you can't go to heaven with sin in your life. He doesn't ask for perfect people. He says, I've got to begin to forgive you of your sin. You can't forgive yourself. You can't have some psychologist forgive you. God is the only one that can give forgiveness to everyone that's here. But you have to believe that. And C, it's A, admitting I'm broken, there's something not right. C, and B, it's believing that only God can do this through his son, Jesus Christ. Think about this, because if we could do it ourselves, then why would God have sent his own son? That would have been the worst case of child abuse if God would have sent his own son, but you could do it yourself? Come on, we can't make ourselves right. We can't make ourselves good enough to go to heaven because we can't take care of the sin issue. And see, it's confessing him as Lord. That word means boss. You're in charge of my life now. And if that tithing thing is what you're asking me to do, hey, listen, it's the least that I can do, God. You've done so much for me and I'm complaining over this. God, it's confessing you as Lord over every day of my life. It's not, I come to church now. It's you get not Sundays, you get every day now, God. That's what it is. I want everybody here to bow their heads because I want to talk to you about giving your life to God right now. I want to talk to you about being born again as we close here today. If you're here today and you just go, Pastor Tim, I want to start that relationship with God. We're not going to take a second offering. We're not going to do, I leave that in your hands now. That's in your hands, the stewardship part. But today, I want to get people to heaven. Eternity is too long. It's too long to be wrong. And heaven and hell are real places, and they're not far away places, one breath away from heaven or hell. And I want you to start a relationship with Jesus today. Well, Pastor Tim, I've got to get good. I've got to fix some things up. I've got to change them. No. We don't make ourselves acceptable. Nobody is. We are all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person you have seen sing, preach, talk today, play an instrument, every one of us have been sinners forgiven by God. None of us are perfect. And if you're here today, whether you're watching one of the home fellowship groups, whether you're at the Jersey campus, whether you're in our annex or right here in the main sanctuary, and you'd say, Pastor Tim, I want to start that journey today. I want to be born again. God doesn't need perfect people. He just needs honest people. And the honest people say, I'm a sinner. And all I want to do is just pray a prayer with you today. I want to lead you on that first step of what it means to be born again. That's all I want to do. And if you're here today and say, Pastor Tim, I want to start a journey with God today. I want to be born again. If Jesus said you must be, then I'm not going to make it an option. I'm starting that journey today. And if you're here and say, Pastor Tim, I want to start that journey, balcony, annex, main floor, even if you're at the home group or the Jersey campus, home fellowship group, if that's you and say, Pastor Tim, I want to start that journey today. I want God to come in and change me from the inside out. I know I can be in church, but I want God inside of me. And if that's you today, without any hesitation, would you just hold up your hand and say, pray for me. I want to start that journey today. Hold it up high. I want to make sure I see every hand that's in this place. Quickly, hold it up as high as you can, saying, I want to start that journey. Balcony, main floor, keep those hands up. And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If your hands are up, stand to your feet right now, quickly. Just stand to your feet. Just say, because I'm going to ask you, I want to pray for you. And there are people that want to, come on, hold it up. Stand up as high as you can. You say, I have my hand up. I want to start a journey with God today. I want to start a journey with God today. I want to start a journey with God today. Quickly, balcony, main floor. If that's you, would you do me a favor? There's some amazing people that want to pray. I want you just to get out of your seat right now. There's some incredible New Yorkers that are going to let you slide right now. Just go right through the crowd and walk down here. I want to pray. All of us want to pray with you. Come on, quickly, you come. If your hand is raised and you're standing, you come. Come on, can we cheer them on as they come? Balcony, I want you to make your way down. This is important. Quickly, I want you to come. This is going to be a brand new day. Come on, let's thank God as they come, because this is a day that people are going to heaven. They're going to heaven today. Come on, you make your way down. As they're coming down, let's all stand together, because I want us to pray with them today. Come on, I want you to come. You are making the greatest decision of your life. That's what you're doing. The greatest decision of your life. Balcony, we're going to wait for you to come down. Annex, if you raise your hand, our ushers will lead you. Home fellowship groups, listen, if someone has their hand raised, then someone go pray with them. Jersey campus, you listen to those ushers. They're going to guide you, and we're going to pray for those that are coming forward to be born again today. I'm not inviting you to be a member of a church. I'm not inviting you to accept a religion. I'm inviting you today to be born again, just like Jesus said, and start a relationship with God that is life-changing today. That's what this is. We're just going to wait just 1 second as those that are in the balcony are now making their way down here. We're going to pray for them today. This is exciting to me. Now, those at this altar, would you look at me for a second? You don't know how excited we are for you today. We are so excited for you. And you know what we're going to do here today? This is what we're going to do. Because I want to say this to everyone here and to those here. Just like I know when I was born, December 22nd, 1963, December 20th. So my birthday is close, just so you know. So December 22nd. So here's the deal. But here's what I want you to know. I'm born once and I'm born again once. I don't do this every single week. I'm born once and I'm born again once. Well, what if I sin? Do I have to come back down and be born again? No. We're all sinners. But it's God working in us and growing us. That's what's happening. So we're not going to, we don't want you to feel singled out here. We're all going to pray this together to encourage you on today. So with your heads bowed, would you all say these words with me? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, and you died for it. You faced hell for me, so I wouldn't have to go. You rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with your Father. Today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. Come on, say this with me. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Woo! Now, I want to challenge you on a next step here. Here's the next step. 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock. We have a special service right in here. We do it every week at 1 o'clock, which helps you on your next steps. Just one simple step. That's all I'm going to ask you to do. So you're going to go out, get a cup of coffee. You're going to go out, eat something, and then you're going to come right back here at 1 o'clock. It's going to help you on the next step. It's question answer. You're not sitting in a church service. It's a Q&A. So they're going to talk on a topic. And I think today's topic, do we know what today's topic is? Heaven. Oh, heaven. Come on. Can it be any easier than that? Heaven. Today we're going to talk about heaven. And you can ask questions. Will I see my pet in heaven? Will I see Pastor Carter in heaven? Yes. I don't know on the other one. But let me tell you who you will see in heaven. Bam. All these folks that are right here, you're going to get to see each other in heaven. I can promise you that. As we close, I want us right now, I want to pray a blessing, and then we're going to close with some baby dedications today, and I want to pray for you. Just stay put. Father, right now, touch every one of these people that made that decision for the first time. Help them, Lord God, to walk and knowing Jesus is their Savior, but the Holy Spirit is their helper every day. And God, if there's anybody that needs help today, it's all of us here, even on the tithing issue. God, I don't want to ever rob you. You've blessed us too much to help us all with tithes and offerings and the why. Let us not just be excited about a second coming, but also excited about a collection. To know that when I give, God's house gets blessed, this house gets blessed, and we have a chance to touch the world. So God, we recognize today it's a step of faith for some of us. And God, I just pray, help us never in our home fellowships, Jersey campus, right here at Times Square Church, never to be a people that are just consumers and never stewards. Make us stewards in Jesus' name. Amen.